Morning. Yeah, you guys ready to stand and worship with us this morning? It didn't sound very enthusiastic, but that's okay. I'm sure you guys will get there. All right, it's better.
Gave your life for us. We are amazed and we stand in awe. Why? For we have been changed by the power of the cross. How great, how great, how great is your love. How great, how great, how great is your love. How great, how great, how great.
Hey!
King. We're singing.
That's good. Thank you, Jason. And all the best laid plans, you know, fall apart, you know. Sometimes God just says, you know what? When that happens, God says, take a pause, Wayne. Just take a pause, you know. Just say, you know what, God, you know, we just spoke about how great you were, Lord, you know, and you know, and that, maybe that's why you stopped me. I just want to recognize you right now, Lord. Just in your presence, Lord, just how great you are. You know, it's not about the performance, it's not about the music, you know. We're just seasonal help, Lord. That's all we are. You know, it's all about you.
We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful.
Thank you.
Lord God, we just want to come to you today. We just want to give you praise for taking us through another week. And God, whatever you have for us today, as we are focusing on the series called White Noise, about trying to keep all the stuff, all the distractions out of our lives so we can see and hear you more clearly, or hear you at all. And so God, as we're at that point today, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will fill this place and just do something amazing in our lives. Not quite sure what you have planned, but I know that you need to speak to us. And God, may we answer, as we talk about Samuel today, may we answer in the same way that he did ultimately. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so, God, as we open our hearts and minds to you, God, just do something. Do something today that we're shocked about. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone, we have our children going to our Sunday School Shoreline Ministry, and everyone else, just say hello to someone around you. All right. That's it. Hello. There we go. How you doing? How you doing?
Good.
You just saying good, good. Right. As you were supposed to say, we are good, good. Oh, well. Okay. Here we go. Welcome to visitors. Welcome to anyone who is visiting online. Great to see that our online ministry just increasing and growing every week, and loving that. And I know we'll all be glad also when a lot of people are traveling. We know a lot of people are doing that, when we can come back together and just worship God together here. But it's good that everybody is here today, here or there, and we know that the Spirit of God is here. If you are visiting and you're present today, by all means, go ahead and fill out your the card that you received, and go ahead and get that back, and we have a small gift for you. Thank you for being part of our worship today, and if you're joining first time online, just let us know via online ministry, and we'd be glad to hear you. A couple other things you can see some information about if you want to become a member of Haven Church. There's also some information about Stephen Ministry that's there. We want you to go ahead and connect with Stephen Ministry if you are in need. This Saturday, the 26th, at the Moose Hall's house, we are having a youth pool party. Okay, so you can see the information about that, and you can connect there. There is also an information sheet about rotating shelter. So if anyone wants to give or connect with the rotating shelter, there are some needs that they need as well. In the hallway, I believe it's in the hallway down here, you can see the Gutsy Bears, which were colored by the kids from Haiti. They gave them back, and they wanted to, and we have them in the hallway if you want to go ahead and take a look at that as well. Paris Foundation is today, and we're good there, Mike. All right, good. And our next time will be in September, so please connect there as well. And there is a clipboard or everything over here near Rachel and them that is for the community kitchen at Elkton Presbyterian, and so that'll be going around if you want to help with community kitchen. And it will be about September 1st, and about 80 to 100 lunches that they will fix for people that are there. So go ahead and please take a look at that. Be praying for several of the people on the prayer list, and also for people as they make that last big push toward travel in the summer. And I know this year some are very excited because they don't have to go back until after Labor Day, right? Some are excited about that. Some wish it was sooner, right, parents? Others are going ahead, and I know several are going to college, right, Thomas? Okay, so that's this Thursday, so we want to pray for them as well, for Thomas. I know Jackson's going, some others. Benjamin's going back to college, right? So we want to pray for all those who are headed back. Right, you're going? Oh, there we go. Got several over here. The Bordley clan, they're sending them off, right? And then we also just want to keep the parents and family and everyone in your prayers as that happens, all right? In addition to prayer list, some that I've received today, are here. A happy 37th birthday to Dana Webb. I'm not telling you who did it. Doesn't look like your husband's writing, though. So, no, he said no way. And also, Hannah, my daughter, has asked for prayers for my sister-in-law, Amanda, and for her husband, Richie, and the new baby that's on the way. Amanda went in yesterday, had lots of complications, struggles, and she's actually, they moved her from Union to University of Maryland. So be praying for Amanda probably sometime today, right? Hopefully, God willing, and the creek don't rise, or the river don't rise, so that God will just make every mom and child be healthy and good and be part of an awesome family with a fantastic uncle. That's all I know. So, all right. Real quick, do we have any other quick prayer concerns that we need, Rachel? Jordan is back in the hospital. He was here with us last week, and we want to claim healing still on Jordan's life. Jordan Cole, any others? All right, let's go. We want to continue to lift those individuals up in prayer. Let's go to prayer right now. All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now and just seeking an answer from you, whether it be for healing or restoration or, you know, some kind of blessing that we need in the midst of everything. God, you know what our needs are. You know where our hearts are. And God, just bring your healing presence to the ones that we've lifted up on the prayer list for births that we often take so for granted, that I just come and here we get pregnant and we have a kid, and then when there's complications, it causes us to recognize what a tremendous miracle that life is. And God, just place your hand upon Amanda and Richie and this little baby that is on the way. Minister her, to her your healing. For birthdays, we should celebrate and are thankful for Dana's birthday and for all others' anniversaries. But God, mostly, I just want to thank you for your call on our lives, that often we don't hear you speaking, or maybe we're just not listening. As I said last week, it's not a speaking problem that you have, it's a listening problem that we have. And if anything that I am more reminded about this week as I look around is that there are so many distractions that keep us from your truth. And during this time together, we just ask that your word come more powerfully than ever before. And God, as we are beginning to see the fruition of our giving toward our new partner church in Haiti, I thank you for Pastor Oog's vision there. I thank you that right now as we speak, he is worshiping, and that many will come to know you in that community. And God, may you use us to transform not only that community, but our community around us, and that your Holy Spirit just fall mightily. So God, renew me, renew our church, and give us a focus, one that is very clear and focused on you. Send your blessing upon our gifts and your tithe to meet these needs and many others here and literally around the world as we give praise, and may the name of Jesus be lifted higher and higher. In your name we pray. Amen.
There it goes. Okay. All right. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lie down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as to the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak for the Lord, your servant, speak for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it about to tingle.
Right. Everybody good? Okay. We are continuing our series on white noise and just how to remove distractions from our life. Like, I'm going to move this because it's distracting me. It's white noise to me today. So this week we're gonna talk about I hear him. I hear him. And a couple things that I want to do is I really want to get in, but before I begin, I really want to give a prayer, start off with a prayer today, just basically because I think our nation really needs a lot of prayer. One of the disturbing things about coming back from Haiti was that I came back to really the greatest country on earth. I mean, we are blessed in many, many ways to live in this country. And to come back from a place where I was one of the palest people around, with some of the darkest people ever, and have not a hint of racism, and come into our country where it's rampant. And it pains me and it disgusts me as well. So I just want to pray to God right now and just lift that up. Okay, will you join me with that? Okay, Lord God, we just come to you today. And when we look at our country, which is... it is the greatest country that we have on earth. And yet we have so many flaws as well. And God, just seeing how Satan wants to divide and create all this white noise and distraction in our lives to just take us off the focus, which is you, that this country was founded as one nation under God. Different people. Yeah, we all weren't perfect all along, and there's a long, winding, evil history that we have in many areas, but God, we know that the only uniting factor is Jesus. That in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter who we are, what we are, where we came from, what we've done, that through Jesus, all those things just fade away, that we are one in the body of Christ. And so right now, God, we just take authority over Satan in our community, in our world, and in our country, that God, that we will eradicate many of our differences and we'll focus on what we have in common, and that's a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And so, God, I just pray that everybody here will have the right spirit of unity, the right spirit of joy, the right spirit of togetherness as we begin to focus on what is really important, and that's how you are speaking to us. Because there's so much in this world and in our country and in our life that we're getting nothing done but hatred and evil, and we just ask that it be rebuked in the name of Jesus. And so, God, as we continue on today, I want to come against, in the mighty name of Jesus, against hatred, against racism, against division, against evil, and that this nation will be healed as we humble ourselves and seek your face. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, just had to get that out, all right? Okay, so our theme verse for this series has come from John's Gospel, and it's in your bulletin, and it says this: the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, all his own, he goes ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. Remember last week I talked to you, if two flocks of sheep went across the same road together, we might think they get mixed up. But because they know the voice of their leader and their shepherd, they will follow the shepherd. Because sheep are really dumb. But they will follow the shepherd because they know that voice. And it said they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize his voice. So what we find in this is that the sheep listen to his voice. He calls them by name, which shows that intimate relationship. He leads them out. He goes on ahead of them. His sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And there's important things that we are learning from this. So this is an encouraging Bible verse to me today because we're learning that God speaks and that we need to hear. And so it needs to go ahead and we need to hear. Now, how many of you are good listeners? Let me raise your hand. How many of you think you're good listeners? Some of you might aren't listening to me right now and you don't know. So how many are good listeners? Okay. How many are pretty bad listeners? How many have perfected the art of like looking at someone and just like, uh-huh, and you have no clue what they're saying? Right? Anybody good at that? I got to tell you, confession time, I'm a really good eavesdropper. I can gear in here and then listen over here and find out what's going on. A lot of times, that's how I don't hear who I'm talking to. Because if I'm talking to someone and I'm going ahead, I'm going, uh-huh, uh-huh. Did you hear what they said over here? You know, like that. And how many good eavesdroppers? How many are good gossips? Hopefully it's not the same people who raise their hand, right? If you have both of those things. But sometimes, you know, somebody will say, are you listening to me? I go, huh? And you don't understand those things. We're going to go to a verse which is a powerful verse today that Rachel read for us, one time without the mic and one time with it. And so I'm really excited about that today because we have 1 Samuel chapter 3. And let's look at that again right now. I have it printed in your bulletin, but I really want to unpack it some more, even though it was read for us. Wonderfully, Rachel, I want to go ahead and read again and look into it. Now, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there wasn't many visions. Stop. In other words, they had the system going up. They had Eli as a priest and his boys who weren't very good. They were kind of corrupt, very corrupt. But still, they were going through the motions of sacrifice. They were going through the motions of tabernacle worship, or let's say they were going through church emotions, but the word of God was rare because of bad leadership and because they had gotten to make it an institutionalization, like it was institutionalized, so it was working on, they were going through sacrificial system, but there was none of God in it, all right? I could do a whole series on that, but we're going to hold on to that, okay? So Eli, here we go, So in those days, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was. Stop. Now what this means, there was a lampstand, and they would make sure it was lit, so it hadn't gone out yet. They made sure this was lit until the morning, and so then they would make sure it was relit. So it's telling you that, but it also gives us a good thing to know that God does not sleep or slumber. God does not, his light does not go out. And so no matter what we're going through, God is still awake and everything. So the lamp of God had not gone out. Then the Lord called, and Samuel was sitting in a place. There were several divisions, and there was the Ark of the Covenant, which is where they had the Ten Commandments. They had Moses' staff. They had some other kinds of things there, some manna in a jar. But the presence of God was the place on what they called the mercy seat up top. And Samuel, I think this is really, really cool. Most scholars believe he's about 12 years old. Samuel is laying down as close as he can to the presence of God. Right? So he is laying right next to this Ark of the Covenant, right in that same place. And so here's what it says. Then the Lord called to Samuel. And Samuel said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, go back to sleep. Shut up and go lay down. How many parents have ever had kids wake you up? All right? You know, I know my kids, like, it's like right when I'm in that point, like where I'm in, like, you know, where you feel like you're falling off a cliff. You're kind of like right in here like this. And they go, I hear this, daddy, 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 daddy. You know, oh, what? I just want to see if you're awake. No, now I am, right? Shut up and go lay down. Did you call me? You know, And so basically Eli, who can't see very well, he's dozing off in his usual place and he hears, hey, here I am. What do you want? He's like, what? Go back to sleep. I didn't call you. Go back. And look what Samuel does. What does Samuel do? He goes back to the place that he is. So he goes ahead. He lays down. And again, don't you love that word? Again. Again, the Lord calls to Samuel. And Samuel does what? Gets up and says, what do you want, Eli? He says, go ahead. I didn't call you again. Two times. How many of you had your kids bug you twice when you're trying to go to sleep? There we go. So that's what he does again. And he goes back and calls again. Again. Again is a word that gives us hope. That when God calls first, he doesn't just go away when we lay down and ignore him. But he goes again, and we have hope in here. He said, my son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now, Samuel had not yet known the Lord, and the Lord, had not yet known the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Stop. Now, Samuel, as I said, most people believed he was about 12 years old. In the Jewish faith, he was training for his bar mitzvah, which would have been 13 years of age. So he was learning, but he didn't have it all figured out. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the fact that God is speaking to Samuel who doesn't have anything figured out yet. You got me? Anybody got it figured out? That's why you're like, I got it figured out. I don't need to hear this. I don't have anything figured out. The more I get closer to God, the more I learn about God, the less I understand truly about God. Okay, and so Samuel doesn't have any of the stuff figured out. It's amazing to me that God does not speak to the established priest, Eli. He doesn't speak to the establishment of the priesthood. He doesn't come down with fire and smoke and everything and say, yoo-hoo, here I am like I was with Moses. He speaks to Samuel, who is not a pro at all by any standards. He is pliable and he is young. And he can be shaped and molded. So here we go. The third time the Lord called to Samuel. And Samuel got up and went into Eli. Here I am, you called me. And Eli finally realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli says this time, go lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Probably the best thing Eli ever said in the whole scripture. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Samuel does it. So Samuel went in and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as he did other times, Samuel, Samuel. So the Lord has called him four times in one night. Then Samuel says, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord says to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. How many of you want tingling ears from God? How many ever heard something that you went, ooh, I heard that? How many when you were eavesdropping, you heard something, you went, mm-hmm. Oh, I heard that. We're like, mm. Right? How many have we ever done that? We hear something that makes us go, whoa! And then we go tell everybody, right? But how many of us can remember the last time God called us? And it made everyone's ears tingle. Everyone go, woo, really, God? You know, so in many ways, in our modern Christianity, the word of God has been really rare. And in many ways, it's not because God is not speaking. He's still going, Samuel, Samuel. He's still going, Bill, Bill. He's still going, Sue, Sue. He's still saying, yoo-hoo. And we're going, huh, did you call me? No, I didn't call you. I must have been my dream. Go back. But many of us are not reaching to the point that Samuel was and that Eli understood that we need to say, speak, Lord, for your ears, for your servant is listening, so that our ears can tingle with what God wants to say to us. You know, I find this really, really cool that God calls him that many times. And here's what's cool. God says, I am about to do something that's going to make some tingly ears. You see, God is an announcing God. God is announcing. God's like, He probably has a voice like Michael Buffer. Let's get ready to rumble. How about let's get ready to tingle? There we go. Maybe that's what God is doing. God is an announcing God constantly. If you don't believe me, to Moses, he announced to him, I'm going to let the Israelites out. To Mary, he says, guess what, little girl? You're going to be the mother of a son, and his name's going to be Jesus, and he's going to save the world. He announces to people, the shepherds of Bethlehem, you guys out here, get to Bethlehem so that you can see the Savior. We sing songs about it every year. He told John, John, I'm going to tell you about what's going to happen in the end times so that you can let people know. This is what I'm going to do. And I believe now God is shouting, hey, here's what I'm going to do. God is an announcing God, and I got to tell you, I'm an announcing dad. Like, for instance, if I'm sitting there, I say, kids, don't you make me get up. You make me get up, I'm going to put my foot somewhere, right? Anybody have an announcing parent? You say, if you guys don't do this, I am going to. You tell them, right? How many? And sometimes it's good. Hey, guys, guess what I'm going to do? We're going to go. Hey. And they go, yay. But you better do this or else I'm putting this somewhere, right? Right? Everybody with me? How many have been a parent like that? God is an announcing parent. He tells us what he's going to do. And I find great comfort in the fact that out of all the people God could have spoken to, he spoke to a 12-year-old boy named Samuel who didn't have it all figured out. Samuel didn't understand, but Samuel also didn't give up. Look at what it says as we finish this down. Samuel heard what God said, and God told him a lot of bad things that were going to happen to Eli. And Samuel was afraid to tell him. But look at what it says in verse 15. It says, Samuel lay down until morning. It's after God spoke to him. I don't know about you, but I couldn't sleep if God just spoke to me and told me those things. And then opened the doors to the house of the Lord. What did Samuel do? He kept doing the things that he did and in the same place that he was because that's where God spoke to him. And he knew that that's where God spoke to him once and God would speak to him again there. See, God, Samuel didn't have it figured out. Samuel even thought it was somebody else, but God continually spoke to them. And I got to tell you, God is speaking to me and to you. And so many times in my life, I look and I say, you know, God speaks to people, but not me. He speaks to the big people like Stephen Furtick and Billy Graham and Rick Warren. They're the guys who God speaks to, right? They're the ones who God wants to talk to. You know, and I have this problem in my life that maybe you may have, that I compare myself to these super Christians or these super people of faith, that people are more perfect, and so God must speak to them more so. You see, but what I know is that no matter you, the reason why is because God knows me, and he knows what I think, and he knows what's going on in my life. So God's not going to speak to me because I don't have it all together. I'm distracted, like we talked about last week. I have a distracted heart, and I'm selfish at times, and I'm frustrated, and I'm worn out, and I'm disgusted, and I'm angry, and I'm this, and I'm that, and God doesn't want to speak to me. And yet, then I read 1 Samuel 3:1-11, and I see that God likes speaking to someone time after time after time after time. Even if it takes four times, God's going to take his time until I listen. And so as I look at this, what I recognize is as we talked about last week and we laid down conditions for the heart, and the last heart that we got was the prepared heart. As I look at the prepared heart, that's what God wants to do. If my heart is surrendered and prepared, then God will speak to me again and again and again and again. And so what I want to do is I want to share just some brief ideas today around this scripture. And I want and what I really want you to know after this is that God speaks and he wants you to hear him. Okay? That's it. That's pretty much it. That God speaks and wants you to hear him. All right? So our first thing today is this, and it kind of picks up right where we left off last week. If you didn't watch last week, go ahead and check out last week's message about the good soil when we talked about the heart. But here we go. A humble heart prepares us for God's voice. A humble heart prepares us for God's voice. One of the things that in 1 Samuel 3 that I learned is that God wants to speak to me and I can hear him. But I need to be prepared. I need to have that prepared soil of my heart for God's presence. A prepared heart is the soil for God's presence and his word to come into my life. And able for me to hear God's voice, I need to be ready for it. God did not speak through Eli or the priesthood. His boys, as I mentioned, were a mess. God spoke through a young 12-year-old. Now, I got to tell you, I'm coming to grips with something. I'm coming to grips with the fact that I'm not young anymore. Okay, you guys help me with this, okay? I'm not young anymore. I think I am. I think I'm still like about 20, and you know, by saying since I'm 20, that makes me old anyway. So, you know, but I think I'm still young. How many of you think you're still young? Okay, you're not, sorry. But, you know, none of the young people raised their hands there. So, but I'll tell you, one of the key indicators of why I'm not young is I have lots of these. okay? I have lots of these everywhere. And you cannot look cool with these. All right? I've tried. I went from them to these. You just don't look cool. I had a discussion with somebody the other night who had them on. I now carry them with me like this. This is not cool, right? Young people, not cool? No, they don't want to say, but it's not cool. Thomas, not cool, you'll tell me. No, not at all. Not at all. It's not cool. It's not cool at all. But, and you know, you go, man, I can't see that as well as I used to. And then you put these things on and you're like, wow, it's clear, but I'm not cool. I'm not young anymore. I'm not young. And, you know, sometimes I'm glad I'm not young. I'm glad I'm not young because I can say what I want to anymore, you know? You just say what you want to and go on. It's kind of fun not being as young. When you're young, you really care what people think. And I remember this lady, she went on to be with the Lord this year, Ginny, and Ginny Beal. She was in her 80s, and she says, the older I get, the bolder I get. And I just tell people, I don't care anymore. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get to that point. And, you know, I'm starting to get there because statistically, I got less ahead of me than I do behind me. You know, I remember when I turned 40 and people started giving me over the hill things and I thought that was funny. And then I did the math. Oh, yeah, I'm on the other side of it. And then the next thing came those glasses that made me look like a goofball. But I can see. So what I'm saying is I'm not young anymore. But God wanted to speak to somebody who was young. But what I do want to tell you, besides my chronological age, I want to be young in some areas of my life. I want to be young in my giving. I want to be young in my faith. I want to be young in my commitment to God, not weighing what is lost, but weighing what is gained. I want to be young in my action, where as a young person, you just do things. You don't worry whether you're going to get hurt later, right? You just do goofy things. And so what happens, you know, I was doing some thought. I went through a couple stories. It was weird that God had me go through some stories of how this church started. And I was 36 years old when we started this church. So we're coming up on 10 years, almost 37. And I remember my dad at the time telling me, well, you better do it now while you're young, because when you get older, there's lots of other things. I was like, yeah, whatever. And I said, Moses was 80, you know, that kind of thing. Anybody 80 years old want to go serve God and bring millions of people out now? All right? So, but in the midst of this, I started thinking, I actually had this conversation with myself this week. What in the world were you thinking, Jack, to start a church? I actually said this to myself, and I said it to other people. I said, what were you thinking? You had 5 kids, baby to 9, 10, right? Yeah. 5 kids, baby 9 to 10. You had a job with a salary and a package, and it was good, and if you kissed the right spiritual rear ends, you were going to be a superintendent or bishop. Hallelujah, right? And for some reason, that 36-year-old, I know some of you are younger than that, don't think that's young, but it's young, went ahead and left. I thought I had this group behind me. As a matter of fact, I remember meeting with a mentor, a pastor, and said, why are you going with them? I said, well, I have a family. And he said, God knows you got a family. And I said, yeah, but. And you know, when I jumped, guess what? That parachute wasn't there. I was jumping out with a lunch pack with the things like the cartoons going, help, right? And after about a month, I had no clue what I'm doing. And sometimes I say, were you insane? Yep, I was. And your wife stayed with you? That tells you about her faith in God and me, all right? When you're younger, and I got to tell you, as the years have gone on and I've matured in my faith and met people of the faith, when I had somebody who promised the world to be that parachute and came through with squat, it tainted me a little bit to people who say they're going to do something for God. Anybody with me? And in that process, I've met people over the years, not just in the last 10 years, but over 21 years of ministry, people that love you and love God as long as you can do something for them. And when you stop attending every single area in their lives, then they're done with you and they're done with God. Or they're done with you and go use God somewhere else where somebody else is going to be attentive to their own Jesus Christ and God in their box. You with me? And what that tends to do in our faith is harden us. And we lose a little bit of that youthful bliss because I know, Joe, you remember when I first came in. I was really crazy then, wasn't I? That's right. You say, didn't you strip down? Yes, I did in the church. But I was really, really crazy then. And I had people saying, what the heck is he doing? Because Like Samuel, I was young in my faith, and oh, that I could have that youth again. I want that youth in my faith and in my commitment once again. And if we look at this, I love this verse from Luke 18. In Luke 18, it says, Jesus called them back and said this. You got the kids, little kids coming up. And the disciples are like, shoo, get them out of here. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. Get them away from Jesus. And Jesus said, whoa. No. You let them little kids come here. And he started to pick them up and hold them. And he said, let me tell you, unless you accept God's kingdom like a child, you can't enter it. You notice Jesus is not saying childish, but he's saying childlike. We need to approach things from a childlike, pliable hearts and lives that we can go. You see, Samuel didn't know it all. The little kids didn't know it all, but they knew who Jesus was and they knew he was capable. It's like when I was a kid, I never had to wonder how the bills were going to be paid. I never had to wonder if there was good food to be on the table. I know some people have. And some of you had to grow up very quick because of life circumstances. But because of my parents, they took care of that stuff. I didn't have to worry about that because there was this youthful bliss that daddy was going to take care of it. And oh, that we could all have that in our faith now, that we have this youthful bliss in our faith, like a child, like Jesus said, that our daddy is going to take care of everything. All right? You see, we don't have to be a pro. Just realize we don't know. Do you like that? I just made that up. Number two, every verse speaks his voice. There's so much potential in every verse of Scripture. So much potential in every word of God that we read. But when it's combined with that childlike faith, it becomes truth and purpose for life. God speaks and talks constantly. And one of the things I've learned is the importance of relationships is it's sustained through communication. How many of you remember your best friend in kindergarten? How many still talk to that person every day? How many talk to them every couple months? Year, 3 years. How many haven't talked to him since kindergarten? Mine was Chip Custis. I don't know what the heck Chip's doing now. I don't know. I haven't talked to him since we were 41 years. He'd probably say, "Who the heck are you?" Right? I, you know why that relationship is weak? Because we haven't communicated. And one of the things that we learn is the power in relationship is communication, and it's no different with God. And so how do we communicate with God? Through daily communication in his word. You may say, God, I'm waiting for you to speak. I'm waiting for you to speak. Well, guess what? Grab this thing. And if you're old like me, grab these along with it. And you can go ahead and read it. And you can hear God's word every day here. And he will speak to you. The Bible is the only book that the author is there with you when you're reading it. And so he not only speaks to you in the pages, but he speaks to you as you're reading the pages. It is the living word of God, and we've got to get into it. And one of the biggest problems that we have in our world, and that why the word of God is rare, is because we live in a culture that is biblically illiterate, or that looks at the Bible as not the living word of God, or just something that is a nice book of old people that put it together, and we look at it as a nice kind of manual for life, rather than the inspired word of God, our manual for life. So we need to get into that. And we need to go ahead and walk with God. And one of the greatest things is, guess what? Go ahead and get in this and start reading it with somebody else. And guess what? You can bounce stuff off of people. And it begins to learn and grow, and you begin to grow together because you begin to form relationships. One of the most amazing things that I've ever seen is when you bring people together in a disciple Bible study or a small group ministry, and you find out that when you bring people together, they begin to connect in ways that you never could force people to. Like, you know what? I could literally say next week, okay, everybody, we're going to get in groups, and you guys would walk out the door and say, I'm out of here. Or some of you might do it, and I guarantee you, if I put you in groups right now and had you turn and face each other and talk to each other and ask one question, I guarantee you'd know more and you'd have a deeper experience with people's lives. But because of all the distractions in life, we don't take time to spend time for each other, let alone getting in God's word. So have you read God's word? Get into it. In Hebrews 4:12, it tells us the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints, marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of us. The word of God is what we need to continue our lives. Number three, treasure his voice above all others. We got to cut out the noise. We got to eliminate competition. Last week, I talked about the distracted heart, how we have so many things that distract our lives. Matter of fact, I told you last week that, see, I have the Bible here, and I had the Bible here, but I told you I've been going back to this. I actually left it at home during Disciple Bible Study because I was reading through it on Thursday, and I had to go to my computer with it. But I told, remember last week I told you, because on my phone, all those little red dots and then text and everything keep popping up when I'm trying to get in God's Word, and I spend time removing text and removing little red dots. And so I've gone back to this. Spend time in God's Word. We need to remove the distractions in life, the distractions that we have. Sometimes distractions are good. Sometimes those things in life that distract us are good. I got to tell you something that's really awesome. Hannah, if you go to the chapter before, you'll read about Hannah. And Hannah is Samuel's mom. Samuel's mom was a woman of prayer. The story that goes like this: Hannah was barren. She couldn't have a child. And she began to pray. And she was standing there praying. And her lips were moving, but they didn't hear any words. She was like. And Eli looked at her and thought she was drunk in the morning. And he said, "Stop drinking that wine early in the morning. You old drunk?" She said, No, I'm not drunk. I'm just crying out to the Lord because I want a child. I want a child." And then Eli says, "Wait a second here. You want a child? Okay, God's going to grant your request." And she goes, "When he does." She didn't say if he does. "When he does, I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring that little boy. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to dedicate him to you. You're going to raise him in this environment and he's going to be God's." And you know what? She followed through with what she did. Followed through that whole thing with what she did. And there's a really cool verse, moms, in there, that every year she went up to temple and bought him a little new coat. She made him a little new coat. Isn't that a mom thing right there? Taking care of her little boy, even though she gave him to God. You see, Matthew 6:19 tells us this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now, a lot of times we use that based off of, you know, financial stuff. I want you to hear this next verse. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I said it several months ago when we did this verse, is the fact that many times what we will do is we look at it the other way. Look at what it says here. It says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." We think that our heart leads to what we treasure, but it's vice versa. What you find important, what you treasure in your life, your heart will follow. Okay, so let's look at that. What did Hannah treasure more than anything? God. More than her firstborn child, she treasured God. Samuel was in the place he was at because of a praying mom, because of a mom who her treasure of her life was God. God is an announcer, as I said, but he's not a yeller. God's not going to go, "Hey, come here. Hey, you-hoo, stop doing that. Turn off MTV, talk to me." That's not God. Matter of fact, next week we're going to talk about the whispers of God. We'll talk about how God likes whisper. God likes, hey, psst. Yeah. But we can't hear those with everything else. And so, what I believe is this in our lives more. We want God to yell, but here's what we want. We want God to turn up his voice. We want God all turned up, as they say. And he wants us to turn down. God wants us to turn down our lives. What in your life can be turned down? In other words, what treasure in your life is your heart following that needs to be turned down in order that your treasure of God can be turned up? Okay? We all have them. Next thing, share what God says. Share what God says. I want to say this very important. So many people are out there that will hear your voice before they hear God's. You will be the first voice they hear before they hear God's voice. So get involved with people. Get involved with small groups. Leave all the stuff. Here's what I want you to do before you leave here today. I want you to leave all your stuff. I want you to hope and believe that God still speaks to you. That's my hope. Because if we look in Philippians 2:3-4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or with vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others," how? "Above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but such of you into the interest of others." I believe that God wants to use us to be a bridge to other people. We're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you get in the word of God, then somebody shares the word of God. How many of you have ever accepted Christ because of a pastor who was sharing something? How many ever had accepted Christ because someone in your life shared the good news of Jesus Christ? How many of you have ever accepted Jesus because there was a Sunday school teacher who got out that felt board and them little things and threw on there or did something like that? How many of you have accepted Christ totally on your own? Nobody ever said a word. There wasn't a TV. There wasn't anything. You just all of a sudden just said, okay, God. No. We all have what Paul says. What I received, I have passed on to you of first importance. And so people learn about God through relationship back and forth. You're here today, I believe, because God, somebody asked you to come. You're here today because God wants to speak something to you in power and might in a way that he never has heard before. One of the things I did not share with you last week, and this is like really been messing with me, Haiti, when translated, means listen. And I got to tell you, as I mentioned last week, I did not want to go on the mission trip. I had a billion other things. I was having shoulder surgery in May, didn't think I would do it. And God wanted to tell me something, and he needed Jack to turn down some things in his life. Some of the stuff is good stuff. God needed me to turn down the pastoral role so that I could hear the voice of God. God needed me to turn down the father role so I could hear God. God needed me to turn down the husband role to hear God. God needed me to turn down the teacher, professor role so I could hear God. God needed me to turn down Jack so I could hear God. And I heard him clearly in the armpit of the Western Hemisphere. Because in my own nature and with what I've got and with what I have and who I am, I couldn't hear God clearly. And there's people here today that you don't have to go to Haiti. You just got to turn down your life a little bit so you can hear the voice of God. You just got to get still and sleep close to the presence of God like Samuel did. When you think you hear him and you go to somebody and say, did you call me? And they say, no. Go back. You need to say, speak to me, for I am going to be your servant and I'm going to listen. Something I'm learning. You need to turn down the hurt in your life. Okay, now we're stepping on some toes, aren't we? We got to turn down the hurt in our life that has been caused by other people and that has been caused by our own stuff in order that we hear God again like Samuel, like a little kid. Don't bring all that crap. Yes, he said crap. Don't bring all that up to you that has been part of your life, that has made you to be the cold-hearted person that you are. I'm not saying you're evil to people, but your heart is cold to God's word. You don't have a prepared heart, because not by your own doing, but because of what others have done to you. That's where Eli was. That's why he couldn't hear. That's his sons. They couldn't hear because they were doing their own thing. They were taking the best stuff and giving the junk to God. Samuel heard because he didn't have it all figured out. Anybody like know-it-alls? Anybody says, you know what, I want to go spend some time with somebody who thinks they know absolutely everything today. No, we can't stand them people, right? And hopefully you're not here, okay? But, you know, some of the know-it-alls know they know nothing. You know, I love teaching philosophy because one of the things I love is Socrates. Now, this isn't churchy, but I think it's kind of cool. Socrates, his whole story was that he was told that he was the wisest person that ever lived. And he came and said, why am I wise? I know nothing. And they said, that's why you're wise. Because, see, when you don't know anything, you search for it. And I got to tell you, standing here today with my master's divinity degree, with 21 years of ministry, I have not a clue what God is going to do in my life. And hopefully that makes me so weak that I'm strong in him. And anybody want to get on the weak bandwagon with me? Look, we got to do whatever he says, number five. We got to do whatever he says. Got to do whatever he says. Everybody say whatever. 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 Turn to the person next to you and say, whatever. I do what he says. All right, now go to your second choice. Say, you better do what he says. The second choice, the other person on the other side, they know it now, so it's okay. All right. Do whatever he says. Look at what James says. James says, don't merely listen to the word, and so do what? Do what? Deceive yourselves. Then he says, do what it says. You know, I know people said to me, I know so-and-so, I've read through the Bible and blah, 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 and I've done that thing, and I've read it cover to cover and back and forth, and I've read it in Greek and Hebrew and Swahili, I don't know, whatever. And my question to them is going to simply be this from now. Have you done anything it says? You know, like when, I mean, everything that says, when it gets to the point and somebody's wronged you and you're frustrated with them and you're angry, do you do that thing where it says, forgive as Christ forgave you? Let me ask you this. When he says, do to the least of these, because you may say, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And he says, hey, depart from me. I never knew you. Are you a little bit scared about that? I am. So what happens? I want to go ahead and give what I can do and be what I can do to the least of these in this world. Because I've read it now, and by reading it, I can't escape it if I'm going to do what he says. James, the brother of Jesus, says, don't merely just listen to the word and feel good about yourself and move on, but do what it says. You see, I heard a story of a missionary who was talking with a pastor, and he was talking with the pastor, and the pastor's like, you know, hey, you know, I'm doing this, I'm struggling, I'm doing this, blah, blah, blah. And he said to this, he said, listen, obedience to God is our love language. We show God how much we love him by being obedient to him. What I am learning in my own journey still today is when I obey him, he releases the destiny for my life. And I struggle with that day in and day out. I struggle to clearly hear God at times because of the distractions in my own life. And because sometimes I just, when God speaks, I just want to go, la, 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 right? Sometimes I just want to go, I don't want to see it, I don't want to see it, because if I see it, then you're going to go. Sometimes I purposely stay away from the Bible because I know God's going to tell me something today. And if I open it and he truly tells me something, I'm going to have to do it, or else I'm going to have to make excuses why I don't. Anybody in that boat with me? I think it's so powerful, because I can tell you, when I don't obey God, and sometimes it's a pain in the butt to obey God because it just messes with things. I like life comfortable. I like to live like this. Like if I'm in a boat, I want to go, right? Some people like to go, woo, and they like to take you with it. Some people, and relationships with some people, is like hooking a dinghy to the Titanic. They suck you down and sometimes they pop back up, you know? Anybody have people like that in your life? I just like to go, why don't people just like to cruise easy? How many of you really like to cruise easy? How many got people in your life who take you on that roller coaster? I don't like real roller coasters. My kids and my wife made me get on Space Mountain. I hated every second of it. I screamed like a little girl. Ah! Right? Didn't I? And they laughed at me. I blame it on that I had back surgery a couple months ahead, but I was just screaming like a little girl because I was scared to death. Right? I don't like them. And guess what? I don't like them for my life. I just want to be like, shh. But sometimes when God makes a call in your life, get ready for the ride. Get ready for the roller coaster. Get ready for the roller coaster. I want to share with you this thing as we wind down today. 1 Samuel 3:19-20. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. This is at the end of it all. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Is that a powerful statement? He let none of his words. In other words, whatever Samuel said, man went boom. All of his life, and all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, that's all of Israel, recognized that Samuel was, look at this word, attested as a prophet of the Lord. Nobody, they could question lots of things, but nobody questioned that he was a prophet of God. Because the words he spoke were truly from God. The life he lived. That little boy, that 12-year-old boy who didn't have anything figured out, trusted God and just, he put his faith in the word of God and it became power and truth for life. And God wants to do the same thing with you and me today. I got to tell you, I remember this one time when I was little that I went to school and I took, I had a whole bunch of Star Wars figures. How many had Star Wars figures? Hallelujah, right? How many had Star Wars figures? The old ones. I'm not talking about them new ones they made that look like them. But I'm talking about the old ones that had like the stiff legs like this, and they had the little guns that would fall out of the hand after we got. And you had the little lightsaber that in the hand. I didn't understand why it had that little thing on the end, but lightsaber that was on there. How many had those old ones? Did you have them, George? Oh, let's all say all. Okay, who had them? There you go. All right. So I had this Star Wars figure. And, you know, man, I love my Star Wars figures. Like, the neck would break and you'd super glue it on there, you know, like that kind of stuff. And I had, like, all of them. It was cool. I think Darth Vader's cape had that little plastic cleat. He was all glued together and all that stuff because I'd stick their head in the dirt. Millennium Falcon would crash into them and all that kind of stuff. I remember one time I had at school, and this one guy goes, look, I got Han Solo. I was like, oh, cool, let me see it. And it was, like, in the box still. Like, when it was in a box, I was like, open that sucker up. He's like, no, we're going to keep it in here. My dad said, I got to keep it in here. It's, you know, it might be a collector's item. Look, don't touch. Anybody seen those collector items? How many of you got those collector items? Shame on you if you do. Because you know what? Han Solo was made to have his head stuck in the dirt. He was made to be thrown against the wall. He was made to be blown up in the Death Star, because I had that too. I had the Millennium Falcon. Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, they were made to go in when I was taking a bath, like, psh, you know, they went in there. They were made to be slammed and crushed and legs ripped apart and duct taped back together, right? That's what they were made for. And guess what? You say, what in the world is this? Where'd this take off from here? Listen, because here's the thing. Life is not made so that you can be a collector's item sitting in a box. Life is made so that you're going to be in the dirt. You're going to be slammed against the wall. You're going to have your limbs ripped apart, and you're going to be duct taped back together. But there is a God who still speaks to you and still loves you. And he's going to put you all back together, and he's got a plan for your life. So that one day, people can say, I can attest that that person is a child of God. He's a child of God. Are you hearing him? He's speaking. Turn down that life. Turn it down. Turn and let God speak to you. Amen? Amen. All right. Next week, we're going to sing a song. But next week, we're going to go ahead and we're going to continue this. And we're going to talk about the whispers of God. The whispers of God. So next week, I might be a little bit more quiet. All right. All right. Stand on up. All right, God, as we come to you now, I just ask that you speak to us. God, I ask that you just, whatever way that you just do like Samuel. That I believe there's people here that you've called. I believe there's people that you have called to ministry. God, I'm not going to live forever. Statistically, I'm on the other side of the mountain with my goofy-looking glasses. I feel like Eli. I can't see much anymore. But God, I just pray that in my heart, you raise up a Samuel. You raise up somebody in this room or somebody watching online that is laying close to your presence. Who has a mom and a dad, a mom or dad, or someone in their lives that has been praying for them. They have dedicated their lives to lifting them up to you. At the sound of my voice right now, God, that I just pray that I'm sharing what you want me to share. I'm not keeping it to myself, because I remember as a young boy hearing the call on my life, and I remember saying, forget that. I remember as a teenager hearing it again saying, forget that. I remember as a young man out of college, working and doing something on my own, losing my job and getting ready to get married and not having a clue what tomorrow was, and you called again the third time and said, hey. And I finally said, speak. Your servant is reluctantly listening. And God, sometimes in my life, I feel like Han Solo, thrown up against the wall, head in the dirt, ripped apart, duct taped back together. But in it all, I know that I was made for this. I was made for your call on my life. There's somebody else here who was made for that too. Not to be made to kept in a pristine box and shielded from absolutely everything, but somebody who's ready to get down and dirty in the world, because this is a dirty, painful world. I thank you for opening my eyes to the plight of people who I would never think about if I hadn't left the comfort of my house, my car and my country to go see faith of a man who could be living life well but chooses to go ahead and serve you with his heart and his life. I thank you that I call him my brother now, and I love him dearly. I thank you for people that you brought here to bring your word and your spirit. God, and for the people that have their hearts blocked by hurt, that they can't hear your voice anymore because they're so hurt and broken, speak to them right now. For as I read the scripture, you took every single pain upon you, every single sin upon you, every single thing upon you. It's upon you, and you paid for it all. And so God, if somebody's wronged someone else and they know it, may they do as James said, don't just hear the word, but do it. If there's somebody in your life that you know you, that because of your action or because of their action that something's broken, hey, forgive them, release yourself. Forgiveness is not about the person offering it to you. It's about you offering it to them, expecting them not to do anything. So God, just free people right now. I feel that right now. I feel the freedom of forgiveness. God, speak your word. My prayer is that everybody here today says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You know my life. You know all messed up and broken and duct taped I am. But you love me still, and you love me because of it. And like Samuel, you want to take my pliable heart and do something new, so that everybody can attest that I'm a child of God. So God, do your thing right now in this presence of this place. Remove all distraction. Turn down our lives. Turn down our schedules. Turn off our watches. Stop the world. So that's just me and you. Every person here says, it's just me and you, Jesus. Speak. Let me hear your voice. In your name we pray.
Strayed so far away, we cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on the way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. Thank God, sing with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Jesus, friend of sinners, the one who's writing in the sand, made the righteous turn away and the stones fall. To remember, we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. But if we put down our signs, cross over the lines in love like you did. Oh, oh Jesus, friend of sinners. Of our pointing fingers, let our hearts be, let thy mercy help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause, you reach for the outcast. Lord, I was a lost soul, and I was the outcast. God will send us just like me, a grateful leper at your feet. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good.
Friend of sinners, right? Aren't you thankful? I am. All right. Next week, we're going to talk about whispers. Okay? We're going to talk about God's whispers. So this week, work on turning down so that we can hear the voice of God in a whisper. All right? Wouldn't it be crazy? You'd hate if I just whispered the whole time, the whole service. You guys, because you know when you whisper, you have to go. Lean in a little bit. So I want you to lean into God this week. All right? See y'all. Say hi to somebody. Say hi to somebody all around. Everybody say hey. No, go find